You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. In the mood to learn today, because we're going to class on Syria. Welcome to my class, Syria 101 today. So I've been studying Syria for the last 24 hours. What a disaster. As much of the Middle East is. And who do we have to blame it on? The Brits and the French. Good God, man. Way to screw that one up, boys and girls. The Mike Pompeo's confirmation hearing going to get going today. He, formerly of the CIA, and he moving to the State Department as Rex Tillerson was shown the door. And so it'll be interesting. Mike Pompeo, a little bit more of a hardliner, which the nation needs. So you'll hear all the hand-wringing and all that nonsense, but... It's time the United States takes its rose-colored glasses off. Yeah. Tinted, all cool as hell, and quit screwing things up around the world. And when we look at Syria, you'll see the position the United States finds itself in. Yeah. Compounded by errors in Iraq. And the math over there isn't easy. So, good Thursday morning to you. Mike McMurrin for a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio right here on the All Warrior Program, All Warrior Radio Network. All Warrior Program, what is that? So we'll check news headlines, and then I'll take you to Syria for a while. And, we'll kind of go around the dial and talk about confusing. I would tell you that Syria makes Iraq and Afghanistan look neat and tidy when you look at their multicultural issues. Yeah, Syria is a swirling cauldron of forces, none of them dominant, and as well as sectarian issues as well as foreign issues. So the reason I started reading yesterday was the article that I cited during the program yesterday in the Daily Beast is very, very well written, very well, in my opinion, very well researched. So very well done. And it sought to complay What am I trying to say? It sought to explain the complexities that exist and what lies beneath, yeah, to steal a movie title from a pretty scary movie with Harrison Ford and Michelle Pfeiffer in it. If you've never seen it, pretty scary. Yeah. Straight up scary, I'll tell you. What Lies Beneath. If you like scary movies or every once in a while you get in the mood, write it down. What Lies Beneath. It's your basic thriller. Scary, too. Anyway, so that kind of got me curious. And that was on the heels of my admonishment to the President of the United States that be very careful in Syria because the Russians are there. And they're doing things that a peer would do. For instance, in fact, it's coincidental, but you've seen it in two parts of the world. Electronic warfare being escalated in the South China Sea with the deployment of jamming equipment to the atolls that have been fortified by the Chinese. And also reports of our less sophisticated, locally controlled by local forces, devices being jammed. And so, by the Russians. So there's complexities, and they're compounding themselves in two parts of the world. So as I kind of got curious about that kind of stuff, and after my admonishment to the president, be careful with the Russians there, that they have not crafted an ambush for American forces, for American response, that you haven't really considered. Now, we have smart guys over there. And any response is going to have the Secretary of Defense's buy-in as well as the chairman's buy-in. And they're both pretty smart guys. But nonetheless, I would admonish both of them as well. Be careful. And, you know, their big criticism prior to the election was we have to have a broader strategy in the region dealing with ISIS. And you're looking at the issue, and we'll talk about that issue today. The problem with ISIS is what comes after ISIS. And the fact that there's not a suitable dance partner in Syria for the United States. If there were, you would know about them. Okay? And so that's why we're going to do Syria 101 today. So we're going to paint the picture a little bit. And because let me just tell you, there's going to be a war in Syria. No, there's no doubt in my mind. And it's not going to be between the Syrians and anybody. It's going to be between the Iranians and the Israelis. So, in the specter looming in the background, you have Vladimir Putin. So we know how that's going to work out, right? Not well for anybody. So again, I think it's important that Syria is going to be in the news, and because slowly but surely, Iran has seeped into Syria like its own horror movie, kind of like this smoke or this water that seeps into something. Except when they seep, we're talking about surface-to-surface rockets. And you're going to hear some of the estimates of the number of rockets that that Iran has installed. First, in southern Lebanon, which is essentially a no-go piece of ground for the Israeli Defense Force now. It's too heavily fortified. Right. And so you're going to hear what Israel is dealing with as Iran tightens the noose. Yeah. And so, and then one of the pieces of audio you're going to hear from, it's actually from Al Jazeera, which does interesting reporting. So there's an Israeli, I believe he's an American who's working in Israel, and he's coming on to speak, I think, from the Jewish perspective, the Israeli perspective. And then there's a former Air Force general from Jordan. His perspective, very, very interesting. And then you have this shill from Iran. And whenever he gets asked a question, he draws this parallel between Israel and South Africa. South Africa's apartheid policies, Israel's persecution and mistreatment of the Palestinians. He draws that parallel. And then, so into that, Iran is simply acting as a moral nation that doesn't want to see another repeat of South Africa. And you just hear his bloviating bullshit. But it's an interesting discussion, so we'll listen to that here in a little bit. So, yeah, going to school on Syria today, because there is going to be a war there, and the United States is going to be involved in it. Right? So maybe that's a confrontation that we need to put Mr. Putin in his box. Again, we don't invest what we invest in our military, right, not to be able to deal with Russia, okay? It won't go well for them. Will we take our lumps? More than likely, yes. But Syria is, I don't see, I don't see how it works any other way, given what the Iranians have done in Syria. And at some point, the Israelis will defend themselves from what they see is Iran's attempt to destroy it. And I'll draw a parallel between what Iran is doing to the Israelis and what North Korea did. North Korea attempted to, with the absence of nuclear weapons, attempted to create a conventional response that would seem very much like a nuclear response. Okay, I hope that makes sense. So, by deploying thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of rocket launchers and artillery pieces, by tunneling them in the mountains north of Seoul, the North Koreans made sure that there would be a conventional response that would be like a nuclear response if the South Koreans and the Americans ever decided to come north of the DMZ to reunify the Korean Peninsula. So that was their conventional military response. And then, oh, by the way, begin the pursuit of nuclear weapons that would level the playing field, right? What's that saying? God made man. Oppenheimer made him equal, right, with his nuclear weapon. Yeah, actually, God made man. Winchester made him equal. So a little kind of a takeoff on that. But that's what North Korea did. The Iranians have done the same thing to the Israelis on the Lebanese border. Okay, so if you get out your map and you look at where Israel is, and we'll go through the geography here in about 43 minutes. So we'll do a little bit of Syria 101, Israel 101 in terms of geography and the way they lay, and then we'll start to take a look at the issue culturally, what Syria is. What is the whole nature of the conflict? Okay, so we'll kind of walk through that today. And I got very interested yesterday going through it. And so I think you'll find it interesting. And I think much like, what we do in places like the South China Sea, when there are mishaps and we do explaining, we're going to do a little bit of explaining today. And so welcome to All Marine Radio on a Thursday. The United States Marine Corps Band gets us moving. Good morning to you. Dedicated to Jeremiah Workman. If you missed yesterday's show, check it out.
Can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My fellow Americans, I'm pleased to tell you today that I've signed legislation that will outlaw Russia forever. We begin bombing in 5 minutes.
Let me be clear. As hard as the last 16 years have been on our military, no enemy in the field has done more to harm the readiness of the U.S. military than the combined impact of the Budget Control Act's defense spending cuts, worsened by the by us operating in 9 of the last 10 years under continuing resolutions, wasting copious amounts of precious taxpayer dollars. If you don't get the resources, my closing words, then your strategy is nothing more than a hallucination, because without the resources, there's just so much brave young men and women can do.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day. And Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, let me stop things. Let me read you something. Two comments on Syria. This is from Nielsen. I'll out him. All right, I won't do this anonymously. Two comments on Syria. What do you do when you've won the military battle? Question mark. Who takes it over? There should be a question mark, but he ended that sentence with a period. Shake yourself, Nielsen. We haven't been able to answer this in 60 years, reference Vietnam. He's absolutely correct on that. We struggle with the strategic piece of this, or the strategery of all of this. And P.S., comma, we already have wounded back here that have returned. W.T.F. There should be an exclamation mark after that. Let me just tell you what we're doing over there. All of this shit is the residual of what the Brits and the French drew up 100 years ago when they unasked this part of the world and they created these nations by arbitrarily drawing lines. And you're going to see that just as it is in Iraq, right? It is in Syria. These bullshit lines that throw together people that have never peacefully coexisted in most of their existence. Yeah. That's what we're talking about. The historical animosity between the Sunnis and the Shiites. The old Ottoman/Iranian Empire. And the Sunnis of the Arab world. That is what this is about. And when we begin to go through Syria, you're going to see it's the same shit, different place. And so to me, just like in Iraq, let me tell you, if Iraq is not federalized, which means there's three states, there's a Sunni state out west and kind of to the northwest part of the country. There's a Kurd state, which Turkey says they won't have. And then there's a Shiite province, and the state's not the right word. So in a federalized government, there's revenue sharing agreement and they govern themselves. All right. That federation, and ultimately those nations would spin out on their own after they created some other agreements relative to oil. But let me just tell you, what would hold it together is the oil revenue. Okay? It is dominated by the Kurds. Okay. So that same federal area, okay, you can project the same thing into Syria. The only way this thing has existed is by force, because they don't go together, water and oil. And so that's what you have in Syria. So, again, what should the United States be about in Syria? It's simple, regime change. He has to go. He has to go. He, again, when you see Assad, you see Saddam Hussein. They are the same. They are brutal dictators. Their populations form the minority. The Alawites are a small, small fraction of the Syrian population. And they run the country. Now, with the backing of the Russians. So, again, this is a British and French invention. Where the hell are they? They got smart and they left. Right? And nobody would give a shit except for the oil. Two issues pull us back. oil and our relationships with Saudi Arabia, right? And the and our affinity as a nation with the Arab world, and now what is becoming another one of our absolute enemies, the Iranians. Going back to the fall of the Shah and the takeover of the Iranian National Revolutionary Guards. If Iraq is not federalized and if it's not partitioned, then we cede Iraq to the Iranians, which paves the way for the fall of Syria, engineered by, or at some point, the transition of Syria. But it can only be under force when you look at the demographics of Syria. Because its dominant population is Sunni. So it has to be subjugated. It has to be by force. Because if it's left to its own devices, it would never fall that way. So anyway, all right, Nielsen, thanks for making me stop. All right, now let's check the weather. We'll go back to Syria here in a little bit, in 31 minutes. Syria 101. Yeah, honestly, I've learned a ton, but there's a war coming there, and the United States should be about one, regime change, and two, the partition of Syria. Yeah, which then gets us in a confrontation with Turkey. Too bad. All right, the Kurds. Give them a piece of land and tell their people to go. Oh, yeah, by the way, did you see the beatdown that the Yankees gave the Red Sox yesterday? It was awesome. Absolutely, absolutely crushed them. Then they got into a little scuffle. And the Yankees shoved them into their dugout. If you watch the if you watch the fight, the Yankees have big dudes, man. Aaron Judge is what, 6'7"? Giancarlo Stanton, 6'6". They're big dudes. CC Sabathia, about 6'6", 6'7". Dellin Betances is 6'8". Yeah, so they get in the middle of it and they just start shoving the whole Red Sox team back, and they're a bunch of Smurfs, man. Dustin Pedroia and all those little dudes. Yeah, let's not get carried away there, little guys. Because when this shit starts, yeah, get your little Smurf wand out. Because it's not going to go well. The beatdown, it was awesome. In Fenway, no less. Yeah, this thing starts on pitcher's mound, and they just get shoved into their dugout. Get in there, now. Let me tell you, somebody needs to help Alan Dershowitz. So the monitor's on mute, right? He's on Fox News. He's got a camera in an office in his home that, like, the angle, like, shoots up at his nose, okay? And it's just a horrible angle. All right, and then somebody needs to help him trim his nose hair. Come on, Al, be a guy. Nobody wants to see that. Yeah, so you see what it's like, one of those fisheye lenses, like, you know, so what, it's like his face is like bigger than the rest of his body. It's awful. Hey, it just came back on again. Oh my God. You know, you would think that Fox News, with all the money they make, I mean, somebody get Dershowitz a decent camera, right? He went down to Logitech and put a camera in. It's not good there. It's horrible. Anyway, all right. I'm supposed to check weather right now around the world. Currently cloudy and 57 in Quantico with 3 weather advisories today in Quantico. What's up with that? A gale warning. Okay. And to Mike Musselman, he made some disparaging remarks about what a gale warning is. Yeah. You're listening to all. Dial it back, Gunner. Dial down the hate. Okay? I know you're smarting over that Red Sox crushing last night, but dial it down. Yeah. Red flag warning in Quantico. Heavy winter storm. Slow movers going to dump heavy snow in the Quantico area. So you got that going for you. Red flag warning from 12 p.m. Eastern time today, which happens in about 90 minutes, until Thursday, well, until 8 p.m. tonight. So it started yesterday. Red flag warning. Whoa. Boo, boo. Hold on. Where's my buzzer? Oh, damn it. Oh, here it is. There you have it. Red flag warning, Quantico. That's right. That's right. 65 and sunny at Camp Lejeune in Granbury, Texas. They've got a couple weather warnings going on there. So we'll find out what's going on in Granbury. And again, if you're friends with Mike on Facebook, ooh, fire weather watch. In effect until Friday at 10 p.m. How about that? Right now, 67 degrees under mostly cloudy skies in Granbury. Feels like 67. That's a wind chill. Humidity at 74%. Winds out of the southeast at 15. Looking for a high of 90 degrees today. So, yeah. So you got a lot of wind, a lot of gales. Gale force winds in Granbury. High winds in 90 today, 88 tomorrow, and then on Saturday, boom, back down to 66. So, there you have it. Yeah, a lot of weather. Hey, a lot of weather news. Up in Montana, it's a mix of rain and snow and 39 degrees right now. They've got a winter weather advisory as well. Or not a winter weather advisory, but a weather advisory. Winter weather advisory. Doesn't say anything else beyond that. Periods of rain and snow today up in Montana, becoming windy late. Temperatures nearly steady in the mid-30s. Winds are out of the north-northwest at 20 to 30 miles an hour. Chance of precipitation, 100%. Snow accumulations of less than an inch. Tonight, down to 31 degrees, so that moisture that hits the road during the day, going to freeze, so if you're going to be out and about driving, that's Canadian for out and about. It is the NHL playoff period. Down to 31 with snow tonight. On Friday, 44 for the high with winds, 20 to 30, 20% chance of precipitation. On Saturday, all the way up to 53. So you got that going for you. Yeah. Heavy-duty weather coverage today. Because there's a lot of advisories. 29 Palms has two advisories. Everybody's got advisories today. I've never seen this. Sunny in 55 right now in 29 Palms. Looking for a high of 71. You know how pretty that is in 29 Palms? 71 in 29 Palms, gorgeous. High wind warning, though. Humidity at 41% out there right now. Winds will be out of the west at 14 miles an hour. However, later on today, winds will be out of the northwest at between 25 and 35 miles an hour, with occasional gusts over 50. That would be 40 in Espanol. Yeah, hit your SAP button if you want to hear nothing. All right, 29 Palms on Friday, windy and 73, and on Saturday, sunny with a high of 80. Currently at Camp Pendleton. There's a weather warning at Pendleton? What? I'm sorry. We'll check it out. There's weather warning in Okinawa, too. There's always weather warnings in Okinawa. Currently, cloudy and 54 at Pendleton, looking for a high of 68 there. A small craft advisory, in effect, for the Southern California coast. 68 with winds today, winds between 10 and 20, increasing to 20 to 30 miles an hour with gusts over 40. And then on Friday, windy and 79, so an increase of 11 degrees. And on Saturday, sun, no mention of wind, with a high of 82. Out to Okinawa we go, where there is a weather advisory in effect there. Marja never has weather advisories. thunderstorm advisory in effect for Okinawa right now till 6 a.m. on Friday morning. Currently dark, rain showers, 69 degrees. Possible thunder in the area. Friday, thunder showers throughout the course of the day. 60% chance of those with a high of 78. Saturday, mostly sunny and 79. And there you have it, your three-day weather outlook for Okinawa, Japan, and Marja, cloudy, 81 degrees, no weather advisory. At the home of All Marine Radio, it is 57 degrees under mostly cloudy skies. A weather advisory, in effect, same one for Camp Pendleton. Small craft advisory, okay? Small craft advisory. All right. Should I take a break? No. Why would I take a break? You know what? I had to go and self-impose River City because of the beatdown that the Yankees got the previous night. And do you think that they could pass up the opportunity to jam my face in it? Oh, no. The Village Idiots, okay, otherwise known as the Ass Clowns, those guys, yeah, they had to come out and they had to start playing. Beatdown. This is from Granbury, Texas. Beatdown, they only won by one. If you're talking about the brawl, what do you expect from low-life thugs from New York? They're the perfect ambassadors for that shithole of a of effed uppedness. A new word there. Dial it down? We don't need to dial it down. We can dial it up. We could always do that. First of all, they didn't beat him by a run. The final was 10-7, but it wasn't that close. Okay? It wasn't that close. Rubber game of the set tonight. Yeah. That means the third game of the set for those of you who don't know anything about sports. So, yeah, the NHL playoffs started. And I'm not sure if there's not a better sporting event in the world than the NHL playoffs. If you like speed and violence, the NHL playoffs, you get it in spades, man. They get after it. So, my Kings lost 1-0 to the Las Vegas Knights. So we'll take that. We'll take that on the road. So Las Vegas Knights, number one in the Pacific Division. Kings, number four, so they square off. And 1-0. So we'll lace them up again, I think, tomorrow night in Las Vegas. And you know what? Las Vegas, like, there's a reason why they didn't give them a sports team, okay? Who needs, like, every third person to have an Elvis costume during a hockey game? Nobody. Okay? Ridiculous. Yeah, Las Vegas does major sports. I'm not sure Las Vegas knows how to cope with those kind of events. If you got them inside with a lot of smoke in the room, a lot of strippers, Las Vegas knows what to do. Okay, to join the rest of the general population in how to do athletics, I'm not sure Las Vegas really has a clue. And it was on display. That many Elvis impersonators in one spot? Come on. That's really what your city's about? Is that what you want? Like, I know Nick Cage made a movie about all that crap. What was it? I can't even remember the title of it. It was so good. It was landing the C-130 right down the middle of the Vegas Strip. Yeah, good one. And then walking out of it. Really? Hollywood. All right, so Before we get to Sear, this is not going as I planned it, just so you know. Between Nielsen stopping me and the Ass Clowns, right, jumping in. Here's another email about the weather. This is from North Dakota. Here's a picture of snow everywhere. Mother Nature needs to get back on her meds. This was all gone yesterday. Now it's all white again. Okay, first of all, there's a reason that when we gave nature a gender, right, should we make her predictable, steady, like a man? Oh, no, let's make her vindictive and evil like a... Sorry. I didn't look, and I didn't name Mother Nature, so don't go, oh, Matt, oh. I didn't name somebody else like Mother Nature. Oh, yeah, when we name, what do we call the sea? Do we call it he? No, she. Yeah. Ma Nature. Pfft, she a bitch. Okay, so deal with it. I think it's, I think it's appropriate when women have to deal with it. Yeah. Exactly. Welcome to our house. Yeah, now you know the burden. Life's a bitch, right? You know the rest of it. Welcome to my house. So it's not a bad thing when women feel the pain. Yeah. Yeah. Welcome to the beatdown. All right, let me do some headlines, and then we'll do headlines at the top of the hour. We'll take a break, then we're going to do Syria. And I'll tell you what, I'm interested to do Syria and play some of this stuff and share some of this information because Con Air was the name of the movie. Yeah, no, it's about as dumb as it gets, right? Con Air. It's Hollywood, okay? As long as it makes money, we're okay with it. Or they're okay with it. All right, so headlines from... Well, let me just finish my thought on Syria. As a response is looming on the horizon, and as Russia has had time to do what it's doing there, which is raising its profile and partnering with Iran so that the United States doesn't control the region, right? Which Russia sees as in its interest somehow. Anyway, as you look at the problem that is Syria, the United States has to be very careful. I mentioned that the Secretary of Defense and the Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff have constantly talked about that whatever we do around the planet has to be linked to a broader strategy. One of the things that you heard, if you listen to the program, and I need to dust this off, maybe you'll hear it next week, John Allen talking about grand strategy around the world. That it's got to be linked to what? What are we linking it to? What are we advocates for? You know, what are we advocates for in the Middle East? If McNamara was the president, we would be advocating for the partition of Iraq. Why? Because it limits Iranian influence. And there is no way that the Shiites are going to be able to control the Kurds. And there's going to be no way that they're going to control the Sunnis. So what is the point? And you've heard Jerry Duran, who still does work in Iraq, saying that more and more the Iraqis are coming to the conclusion that they will not survive as a nation. And that they need to have three, you know, federal provinces. They need to come up with a revenue sharing agreement relative to oil. And they need to stop the fighting. Because the Iraqi people are sick of it. And we need to get past the stupid-ass boundaries that the Brits drew 100-plus years ago. Which is how this whole... And so what you see is the dictators, right, after these lines get drawn, the dictators are the solution that keep these things together. Right? What you won't do by cooperation, you will do by coercion. So the Brits leave, dictators, so the fighting gets going, somebody asserts himself, and in Iraq it was the Sunnis who ran Iraq until Saddam was deposed, right? And so in our brilliant foresightedness, then we come in and we destabilize Iraq, And we have this idea, this kind of Jeffersonian-based idea that it'll work well. But we really don't have an idea. We'll somehow or other turn it over to the Iraqis, and we'll tell everybody to stay in their lane, and we want it to be like the United States. And what do we get? We get Iran, who walks in and says, yeah, you know, hey, first of all you girls get out of the room. All right, everybody else that's left, boys, listen up. We don't do it like that. We, the Iranians, will empower you, the Shiites, to take this son of a bitch over as we reconstitute the Ottoman Empire, Persia. And we delivered it to him. Congratulations, George Bush. Congratulations, Barack Obama. Okay, so to me, in Syria, it's pretty easy. The United States should be advocating regime change and the federalization of the country. Because when you look at what the Sunnis control, and we'll get to that if I ever get to the news headlines, it's a joke. It's a joke. So, all right. So our response has to be linked to some kind of strategic thought and strategic vision that's in America's best interest. Because of the cauldron that Syria is, we don't have an idea. We said now we're not about regime change. We're not? How can we not be about regime change? First of all, the guy's a bad guy. But even if he was a good guy, he's a dictator that has coercively kept a lid on a nation and suppressing people, and he needs to go. And then you can bring the United Nations in and the peacekeepers and keep people apart, and then you can partition the country and then move on. Okay? Let them be what they will be in the state that they should have been in years and years ago, were it not for the Brits and the French screwing the whole thing up. Yeah, let's draw a line there. Well, wait a minute. That shoves together people that hate each other. Oh, it doesn't matter. It's clearly discernible on a map, though. Righto. Sporty, mate. Yeah, all that bullshit. Those idiots. Right. All right, so to the news we go. Mattis-directed task force wants to overhaul the infantry. Here's how it might do that. The close combat lethality task force could radically change the lives of the infantry and ground combat troops across the services. How about that? Written by Todd South. South was on the program about, what, a week ago? 10 days? The new task force has its way time-honored extra duties, such as handing out towels at the gym. If the new task force has its way, time-honored duties such as handing out towels in the gym, raking sand, standing gate guard duty, and picking up litter will no longer consume the time and the energy of infantry soldiers and Marines. Instead, they will be better selected, equipped, trained, and prepared for their mission. Intimate killing in close combat. A close combat lethality task force operating at the highest levels of the Pentagon is likely shaping not only the future of the infantry, but also who serves in ground combat forces, when and for how long, and what they do while they're serving. Robert Wilkie, the Undersecretary of Defense for Personnel and Readiness, and retired Army Major General Robert Scales on Wednesday unveiled some of the early work being done on the task force that was years in the making, but only under Defense Secretary Jim Mattis has received the heft of funding and resolved to get moving. Wilkie and Scales spoke on Wednesday at the Association of the U.S. Army's headquarters in Arlington, Virginia. Quote, the Secretary of Defense has dedicated a great deal of time and effort to this, Wilkie said. He has tasked us with gauging the readiness of the entire force, enforcing decisions making changes in force structure, we're no longer just an oversight bot. The readiness reporting system at the small unit levels fails us, said Scales. Wilkie said his office is building a rational workforce management model that will closely evaluate every aspect of how close combat forces across the branches are being utilized. When asked after the event whether Scales' suggestion that close combat leaders are in their prime age between 28 and 40 and that they should first serve in their other jobs before joining the infantry, Wilkie agreed that the recommendation, along with others, is on the table. So that's in the news. Interesting little piece, but that will overhaul the DOD, right? In a place where everybody's equal. Interesting. Another one of the amazing stories about stupid in the Marine Corps. Commandant places general on leave following complaint of alleged inappropriate comments. The commandant has placed the commander of a Marine family program on administrative leave following an anonymous complaint stemming from alleged inappropriate comments made at a town hall discussion on April 6th, according to Marine officials. Brigadier General Kurt Stein, the director of Marine and Family Programs, quote, will remain on administrative leave pending the outcome of an inquiry into these allegations, read a press release Wednesday morning. An unknown tipster filed a complaint with NCIS following a town hall meeting. The Marine Corps expects every Marine, uniformed and civilian, and particularly those in leadership positions, to take allegations of misconduct seriously and to promote positive command climate, said the Marine Corps statement. An aviator by trade with more than 100 combat missions under his belt, Stein has served as the assistant deputy commandant for aviation prior to this position, according to his bio. USA Today reported Stein was suspended for publicly ridiculing as fake news allegations of sexual harassment at his command, and also joking about a chaplain recently firing for having sex in public. Okay, I know there's general officers that listen to this, so everybody get your stubby pencil out, General. All right? Admirals, you too, because I know you guys listen too. When you're on display in public in this type of a forum, okay, there is no joking around. There is you taking notes, and you're concerned for every allegation that comes at you. Your desire to do your comedy routine and to speak off the cuff, and let's be frank here, save that for another time. You're a general officer representing the corporation. Act like it. Don't go out there and act like an idiot. It's amazing, honestly. When you look at the number of general officers that get fired, how did they get hired in the first place? Oh, that's right. Most of them are bobbleheads. That's why we wind up in all these stupid-ass confrontations around the planet. Another headline. Trump says missiles coming against Syria are going to be new and smart. His latest tweet this morning was, they may be coming, they might not be, blah, 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 blah. So I don't know if he got wire brushed by his military people, like, hey, you know, first of all, you said that we won't telegraph shit. So zip the Twitter account, blockhead. Okay. Anything I can do to remedy it? Yeah, just stay off the thing. No, I can't do that. I have to tweet. All right. And then tweet, we might not do anything, right? That'll throw Vladimir for a spin. Another headline, the military stunning fighter pilot shortage. 1 in 4 billets is empty. Is that stunning? 25%? Is that relative to what? Has it been greater or less than that in the past? former House Speaker John Boehner reverses his course on medical marijuana, citing positive benefits for veterans. He took a seat on a board this week. I wonder if that seat pays. I wonder if that seat pays. I wonder if that might have anything to do. Not that I would say that Boehner would sell out, you know, the planet for a little money, especially the money that's supposed to be in the legal growth of the cannabis plant now. I don't want to get too jaded early in the morning. I have friends that love John Boehner, say he's a great guy. So I won't go there today. I'm going to try to be in a good mood and positive. Okay, top five stories on early bird. Let me get through that. And then I'll hit Stars and Stripes real quick. And then see what headlines they have. Because Stars and Stripes has stories that nobody else has. Pretty amazing. Yeah, very impressed, I have to tell you. Never thought it was much more than kind of your basic PAO rag. But guess what? I was wrong about that. I would tell you, if you're looking for stories about the DOD and military, put Stars and Stripes up there. All right, top five stories today. I don't know who makes the order of these stories, okay? But if I was asking you, what do you think is the number one story, you know, that most people in the DOD would be thinking about today? Our retaliation in Syria, yes? Yeah, that's not the top story. Number one, Navy's top officer lays out aggressive new cruiser replacement strategy. That would be the top story if you're a shipbuilder or a lobbyist for a shipbuilder, or if you're an influencer, meaning retired admiral that works for one of those son bitches. Yeah. Buoyed by rapid progress on the next generation frigate, the U.S. Navy's top officer is ready to quickly move out on the long-debated replacement for the Navy's aging cruisers. Oh, boy. Here we go. Yeah, let me look into my crystal ball. Cost overruns. We were going to buy 36. We wound up buying 7. Yeah. So we were going to expand the Navy. It's contracting. Because we can't do contracting worth a shit, especially big-ticket items for the Navy. Film at 11. Number two, Defense Department halts F-35 deliveries amid repair bill disagreements with Lockheed. That won't last long, trust me. Fake news. I don't want to say it's fake news, but we got a billing issue. We'll get it straightened out. Somebody just put their foot down and said we need to solve it. And one of the adults, probably. Number three, Pentagon, quote, still assessing possible missile strike on Syria, Mattis says. First of all, I would say, before the cart gets in front of the horse, one, you got to validate beyond a shadow of a doubt, and you got to put the PowerPoint presentation together for the president and the Secretary of State, the Honorable Mike Pompeo, who's right now testifying. I like Pompeo too. And you got to make sure that it wasn't anybody else. That it was, in fact, delivered by the Syrians, and that we know that. So that's one. Then two, assess your ass off, and at some point, because this response has to be going up in terms of scale, clearly the last time, whatever we blew up didn't seem to bother Mr. Assad. You have to make it hurt. You have to make it hurt for him and his nation, not just maybe his military. Maybe we drop a few bridges in the Alawite province that make it more difficult for them to do sustainment. Ooh, oh yeah. Maybe we do other things. And we do have to be mindful. You better know where the Russians are, okay? Or else when they say they're going to respond and Iran has said they will respond, what does that mean? Does that mean now we're in a shooting war with Iranians? I mean, I think that's coming. Should we do it now? Tell the Russians, stay the fuck out of the way, Vladimir, and smokes Yeah, sink all their ships in the Med. That would be awesome. Smoke all their aircraft and just say, limp your ass back up to Russia. Take your shirt off, right? Take a few poses, either in cold water, with your rifle, whatever you want. Maybe throw a bear in there. Get your ass back where it belongs. You and your tiny little economy. Let's stop the preening. Just go away. Okay? Just go away. So, are you going to unleash that? What is the response? What does a Russian response look like? What does an Iranian response look like? They're going to strike our military in the region? I don't know that they'll do that. So who would they strike? Israel? Yeah. Be careful with that one. That one bites. So anyway, so that's the third story, right? The boiling cauldron that is Syria, that has a lid on it, and we're like, everybody that comes in the kitchen sees it, and they like wince, like, that's going to blow. Yeah, it's going to blow, because there is a simmering fight there. There's a few of them. There's a Sunni-Shiite fight in Syria. There is the Israeli-Iranian fight. And then there's Russia screwing the whole thing up. San Diego Union, number 5 story in the top 5 for the early bird. A mystery meeting in Coronado brings ex-SEAL boss into court-martial probe. On December 9th, two men quietly met at a coffee shop in Coronado. Sounds like a mystery novel. Although surrounded by Saturday breakfast crowd, they chose seats unlikely to attract the attention of eavesdroppers. Both men were former military, with stints in the Marines and then the Air Force Reserve. Retired Colonel Billy Lee Little ran criminal defense probes for the Navy. The other very cautious man was retired Rear Admiral Brian Losey, considered within the SEAL community as one of the toughest officers to ever wear the commando trident. So we got intrigue in the San Diego Union. For the next 90 minutes, Little wooed Losey to become a confidential informant, sharing his inside knowledge about what he seemed to believe were, quote, political shenanigans surrounding a probe into three SEALs accused of committing war crimes in Afghanistan in 2012. Quote, frustration with their senior leadership, recalled Little on Tuesday morning as he gave testimony in the court-martial trial of Special Warfare Operator First Class Daniel V. D'Ambrosio and two special operators, Chief Petty Officer Xavier Silva and David Swartz. Quote, and there appeared to be anger to go along with that and fear. Speaking under oath inside the Naval Base San Diego courtroom, Little said that Losey was so scared of being recorded or followed that when the session wrapped up, the SEAL told the Navy investigator to leave first so he couldn't identify the car he drove or trace a path back to his home. Little had wanted to know if Losey felt pressured by lawmakers on Capitol Hill and senior military leaders to reopen an investigation of three SEALs who were accused of abusing male prisoners at Village Stability Platform Kalach in the Klora district of Afghanistan's Urzan province on May 31, 2012. 5 months after the beatings and despite the eyewitness accounts of Army soldiers and concerned that a homicide might have been committed but was never proved, the SEALs were given nonjudicial punishment by their commander, Captain Robert E. Smith. All right. So there's that story. A couple other stories I'd call your attention to. Yemen's Houthi rebels continue to fire ballistic missiles at Riyadh, and it's only a matter of time till one of them finds its target. So that's in the news, although you haven't seen it. U.S. carrier, the Theodore Roosevelt, quite interestingly enough, right, walks softly and carry a big stick, just completed combat patrols with its carrier battle group in the South China Sea. After much ado by the Chinese and their one aircraft carrier conducting major exercises in the South China Sea. The Roosevelt and her battle group rolled in there, did their thing for about a week, and now they're in the Philippines. So it goes in the South China Sea. All right, story in the LA Times today about the Pentagon. The Pentagon is worried about accidentally killing Russian troops during a Syrian attack, as they should be, as they should be. There's a war that's going to happen there. The only question is who's going to start it and who's going to be involved in it, because there's a lot of people on the hanging around the dance floor. All right, now, there's a story under the Marines section. All right. Coast Guard Marines join Navy in concerns over sleep deprivation. I have to tell you that I think this is the biggest bunch of bullshit in the world. Look, ever since Cain and Abel fought, right, and the world was presented with combatants, there's been a problem with sleep deprivation. All right. Imagine if you're Cain, okay, I'm now a warrior. Who do I share Firewatch with? How do I stay 50% alert at night? I can't sleep with one eye open. That would give me 50% alert. But that's impossible because I'm a human. I need to recruit somebody else so that I can deal with sleep deprivation. It's been going on forever. You know what the problem is with sleep deprivation? It's leadership, okay? It's leadership and discipline. It isn't sleep deprivation. Yeah. Don't tell me they're working 20 hours a day and they don't have time to sleep or eat. Don't tell me that. I don't want to hear that bullshit. Oh, why don't you shut off the internet cafe and all internet access, okay? Why don't you have that open up for maybe an hour or two at a time? Or why don't you limit people's, they can only get on with their cat card for 30 minutes. That's enough time to respond to emails and then go back about their day. Oh, well, they have a right. Shut up with that shit. The Navy has taken steps to get sailors more sleep, implementing new schedules designed to guarantee more consistent rest after the destroyers Fitzgerald and McCain collided with... Please. Please, please, please. This is so much shit. Master Chief Petty Officer of the Navy, Stephen Giordano, said Wednesday that leaders must constantly keep in mind that a sailor's life at sea is filled with time spent operating on those platforms, time spent training, time spent qualifying, and time spent doing all the other things they want to be able to achieve, and that is demanding. So what can we do better to help them manage that time a little bit better? It's important that sailors get sleep. The science will tell you that you have to go have a certain number of hours of sleep to be capable of, oh, shit. And now we have the Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps. Sergeant Major of the Marine Corps, Ronald Green, said his service is paying more attention to the diet, sleep schedule, and fitness of Marines to ensure readiness and prevent accidents. It's the sleep. It's the fitness. It's the mental, physical, and I say spiritual fitness. Spiritual fitness. For us, it is what bonds us together and causes us to be willing to go out and be willing to die for one another, to be willing to die for the nation, to be willing to die for people we never know from other nations. Green emphasized again, what we eat, fitness, and sleep. And the Coast Guard guy, Steve Cantrell, he bombed in on it. Hurricane relief operations typically have the Coast Guard personnel working 80 to 90 hours straight. Members of the Coast Guard all realize that they joined a humanitarian service and they don't want to see people suffer. If they're going to expend all their energy because they're so devoted to the mission. Leaders have... Oh, my God. Who's Cantrell? Cantrell's a Coast Guard guy. He cracked the code here. Quote, leaders have to watch their subordinates. No shit. Holy smokes. I could have ended this thing in about, I don't know, everybody makes a statement. We'll give them 10 minutes. So that's 30 and give McNamara 5. Hey, thanks, Sergeant Major. Thanks, Master Chief Petty Officer. Thanks, Master Chief Petty Officer for the Coast Guard. Okay? Let me tell all you ass clowns something. It's about leadership and supervision. Shut down the internet cafe. Tell them that they can only have X number of minutes to play Game Boy and all the other bullshit that they have. And tell them to get their asses to sleep. 4 to 5 hours of sleep at a time, you can live on that. Jeez, Mac, how do you know? Oh, because I fucking did it for 3 years. Yeah. No shit. And then there's got to be somebody, an adult, that is watching people. And when you see somebody struggling, you walk over and you say, hey, not to him, but to his boss. You grab one of your Marines and you say, hey, go tell Master Guns I need to see him right now. Master Guns comes walking in. Hey, sir, what's up? Hey, he's falling asleep. So he needs to get out of here. Okay? So will you get me somebody else in here that can stay awake and then unscrew him? Unscrew him is code for find out what his problem is and help him and solve it. It's not scream and yell at him. It's why isn't he able to be awake? He normally is. Okay? And you know what? They'd look at you and say, this is this business 101. Got it, sir. All of a sudden, 5 minutes later, you see some other Marine coming in with a rifle. He puts it down. And then Master Guns taps him. Hey, do a quick turnover with him. Tell him what you're doing and come see me. Got it. They do a turnover. Boom, he leaves. You don't see him for a while. Then he comes back. Hey, sir, you got a minute? Yeah, what's up? I want to apologize. I was having some issues. I wasn't feeling good. I was having some problems at home. I wasn't sleeping. And Master Guns wanted me to tell you thank you for, you know, and that's the way, that's leadership, because you love them. So Cantrell, here's what he says, quote, do they get enough sleep, question mark? Do they have problems at home, question mark? We have to be mindful of that. Those are the kinds of things that keep me up at night. Really? Because Mattis keeps other people up at night. So I can't believe that this is such a bunch of shit. Now we're going to rediscover that the sixth step in troop leading, right? The troop leading steps, it's an acronym known as BAMCIS, right? BAMCIS. Begin planning, arrange a reconnaissance, make the reconnaissance, issue the order. That's I, BAMC. Complete planning or whatever. And the S. The only one of those steps that is important is the S. Because if you don't supervise all the shit you did before that, nobody will do anything. And that's what the leaders of the DOD get paid to do. The sixth step in troop leading. No shit. Where was it on these ships? And in units that fail, it's absent. Okay? Supervision. It's not letting your Marines urinate on corpses. Why? Because it takes them nearer to a line that you don't want them to cross because they've got to live with themselves forever. You're supposed to know that shit. But you know what? A lot of guys don't. You want to know why? Because they don't listen to all Marine radio. And you know what that makes them? Fucking stupid. Exactly. Because you want to know, you get smart, good advice from guys who have done a lot of shit from All Marine Radio. So, ignore All Marine Radio at the peril of your career and at the peril of your quality of life. Because we speak the truth. All right. So, I wanted to talk about that because I saw that and that pissed me off. And now I want to go to Stars and Stripes, one of my favorite publications. Above the fold headline, broad attack on Syria would face risks, including escalation with Russia. To which Mac responds, yeah, be careful, but screw Russia. If we're going to have a confrontation, why not Syria? We do the desert really well. Okay? let's hammer the Russians and Syrian, and then let's hammer the Iranians, and then let's do regime change in Syria with the Israelis. Yeah. We'll get to that in a few minutes. All right. Number two story. Now, it's interesting. You don't see this story anywhere else. Okay. Searchers find the great lady. And so in what's been a string of, and I don't want to say, how do I say this? It's not like these ships, it's not like we didn't know where they were, right? Because, you know, when they went down, we had their Latin lawn when they went down. The question is, has anybody ever gone down to take a look, given the depth of where some of these wrecks are? Answer to that? No. Okay, got it. So, this story, hold on, it's loading. I don't know why my internet is so slow. I don't know if it's a browser, it's a site, or if it's my internet, and I've got too many things going on. Now that I have, like, YouTube TV going on through my internet, does that suck up too much bandwidth? Maybe. Headline, searchers find Great Lady cruiser sunk by Japanese torpedoes 75 years ago. On the morning of July 6, 1943, the USS Helena lit up the darkness as its crew unleashed the ship's array of guns at 10 Japanese vessels during the Battle of Kula Gulf near the Solomon Islands. But it would be the end of the line for the St. Louis-class cruiser, which had been nearly destroyed at Pearl Harbor during the surprise attack on December 7, 1941. At 2:40 a.m., a tremendous explosion hit the Helena as the first torpedo found its mark, completely tearing off the ship's bow. Frank Salazzi, a gunner's mate on the ship, recalled in a 1984 memoir, 20 seconds later, the second hit amidship almost immediately. The third hit immediately. Almost immediately, the third hit amidship. The Helena died at 2:41, a minute later, her back broken. The captain ordered the crew to abandon ship. Salozzi cleared the ship by diving off the top of a 5-foot gun turret. Turning his head for one last look, he saw the bow and stern rising towards each other in the shape of a V. With the grinding and rumbling of torn metal, she slid straight into the dark depths of the Kula Gulf. The Helena lay there undisturbed for 75 years until late last month when an expedition aboard the research vessel Petrel discovered and filmed the lost ship. It was found about a half mile below the surface on the floor of the New Georgia Sound off the coast of the Solomon Islands. The discovery was announced yesterday by Paul Allen, the billionaire co-founder of Microsoft and owner of Petrel. Quote, "We do these missions as testament to the brave souls who served on these ships," Robert Kraft, director of subsea operations for Allen, said in a statement. Quote, "Each ship has a story that touches families and friends of those who perished or survived." So the story of the USS Helena back in the news after 75 years. So, yeah, you don't see that. I didn't see that on any other site. Also, another story. Do you remember a few months ago, an Air Force NCO posted a video? She's Asian. And she essentially called out black female subordinates at Nellis Air Force Base for being disrespectful. She has now been reduced in rank. So, not that anybody's surprised by that. But interesting. It was very public when it happened. and did not see anything about that. So, all right, we're going to take a break. We're going to Syria next, and I'm late to do that. We're going to Syria next here on a Monday, on a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio, right here on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.